Oh, I'm wearing purple now. There's purple everywhere. All right, violet. Sorry, that's the appropriate word. I learned that today. This is the first time as a priest I've gotten to wear violet for our beginning of Advent, which is the new year of the church's liturgical calendar. So it's also appropriate to say to one another today, Happy New Year. And this new year is way better than the other one we celebrate, which is based on like a Roman pagan god and I don't know, look it up. It's pretty interesting. This one is rooted in Christ and the story of salvation. So this is the one we should really be celebrating, the beginning of a new liturgical year. And if you know much about the liturgical year, the calendar as it's set up by the Catholic Church, you know it's set up to walk us through the whole story of salvation. And so the new year begins in sort of a twofold sense, with us going back in time, trying to stir up that forward-looking, that anticipation that our ancestors had awaiting that first arrival of Jesus. And also, where we are now in the end days awaiting the second coming, we're invited at the same time to look forward to that second coming of Christ and let this anticipation build in our hearts because the beginning of this new year should really draw our focus to Christ, who is sort of the beginning and the end. And everything, you know, wrapped up in him. And so, yeah, we change everything. Colors and music and really begin this new year well. And we need to. Like, sometimes it's maybe hard to get back into, like, all right, another year, another Advent, blah. But we should be intentional about allowing ourselves to be formed over and over again. Because that's the only way we'll truly stay vigilant and watchful by really engaging once again in the story of salvation from beginning to end in this next year. Because you're always being formed by something. And the church gives us the whole liturgical calendar to form us towards the truth of Jesus. The world, on the other hand, is constantly kind of dragging us away. So the more we engage just in a more intentional awareness of what the church is doing, the more we'll be able to keep ourselves safe from what's going on, you know, in the world, so to speak. And I just want to give you an example of that. I went to watch the new Marvel movie with some students. How many of you guys let your kids watch Marvel movies? Right? Yeah, I mean, this kid, PG-13, right? I mean, come on, it's Marvel movies, superheroes, no problem there. So I thought. I never look up parents' guides for Marvel movies because you don't need to. That has ended. You now need to look up parents' guides for Marvel movies because the newest one, I guess there is some change in ownership of something. New director, they did two things they've never done before. Okay, yes, there's the usual moral drama and nonsense between the characters that you expect. But for the first time ever, there was a very, very visual sex scene in the Eternals movie. And it wasn't like, now they didn't break the rules officially, but it was way over the top. And it was like, oh my goodness, this is a kid's movie, or it's supposed to be. And then for the first time ever, a character commits suicide. And it's not super clear, but he's at a point where he's made a huge mistake. His team's like, come on, man. You know, he apologizes. You're like, yeah, this is the redemptive moment. He's going to be forgiven. And he flies. No, anyway, I don't want to give spoilers. But he commits suicide. And you're left like, wait a minute. Redemption, forgiveness, that was all there. And I did some research into this movie, and they explicitly chose to do that for the first time, to not have a moment of like self-sacrifice and that be the focus, which is usually what Marvel's done, showing the value of heroic self-sacrifice, but rather to answer your problem with suicide, which we know is what the world wants us to do. You think this is just happenstance? Like, no, movies, directors, they have an intention to form us, to change our thinking, and with assisted suicide and all that stuff that's going on, they want us to slowly begin to change our thought on suicide, that it can at some times be an answer to our problems. No, like, we know that's wrong, always. And so, watch out! You're being formed at all times, you and especially your kids. Never let your kids watch a Marvel movie without looking at the parent's guide, which they're very good. There's some Catholic ones, you know, so you don't want your kids to be given thoughts like that. You don't even want yourself. It's just the way the world's going, and the church gives us this sort of safe zone, the liturgical year, beginning with Advent, where we can remind ourselves again that, you know, Christ is the center of our lives, and he gives us the truth, and we live that. It keeps us watchful and aware, vigilant, so that even when we, you know, it's impossible, of course, to avoid all worldly deformation. You know, you'd have to destroy all phones and screens and everything, but if we stay rooted in the truth, we'll recognize it, which is, I mean, the people I went and watched the movie for, we were making fun of it and discussing it, so it was good for us to see this is where the world is, but some people walk in there, they're not going to church, they might think that's the truth, and they probably are, and it's very sad. So give thanks, you know, today as we begin this new season, that you're here, that you've chosen to form yourself, or rather, to let Christ form you. But most of all, through the sacraments. And when he himself comes in and transforms us from the inside out. But also by just participating in this change in music, the change in colors, and the change in readings focuses, that we're reminded of this anticipation that we have in a special way now, but we should have always as we await the coming of our Lord Jesus for the second time, when we'll be freed from all this mess and nonsense. And, you know, Advent is a time when we should make some changes. It's a penitential season. You know, we don't like to talk about that. Like, come on, Lent's hard enough. Advent is a time, it's sort of like a little Lent, it's called, where we're invited to do something to engage more intentionally in this formation of the liturgical year. And some people like to fast from something or take on some more prayer. And I want to teach you about a devotion that I just learned about that really can help a whole family. I mean, individuals, of course, but this is especially like a family-focused devotion that will help you really get the most out of Advent. Has anyone here done the Jesse Tree devotion before? I'd never heard about it. Jesse Tree. Yeah, like, this is the best. We always did the Advent candles, you know, and like, every other day we'd remember to read the reading or something like that. This is a devotion that walks you through the genealogy of Jesus and really shows you like how history has led up to the coming of the Savior. And it involves some scripture readings, so penitential, you know, and prayerful. You got to take a little bit of time to do this. And if you have kids at home, you make little ornaments for each day. So briefly, these are in the back for anyone who wants. On either side of the vestibule, there's some printouts of the Jesse Tree Advent devotion. You have like a simple tree. It could be a Christmas tree. And each day from December 1st to the 24th, there's a scripture reading starting in Genesis, going all through the Pentateuch, and all the way up to like 7 days focused on just Jesus himself. And the family gathers together, or you by yourself, read this, think about it. And each day you have the option, don't have to, of creating an ornament with a symbol that captures this story from the Bible. So every day, like maybe you're reading the daily readings for Mass, and you're praying, and in this way, you're focusing on Advent in your prayer. As you walk from, yeah, the beginning of creation up to its ultimate fulfillment in Jesus. So I offer, maybe you guys have your prayer, your penance already figured out. Good, do that. Don't worry about this. But if you haven't thought of anything yet, grab one of these or just look up Jesse Tree Devotion. It's beautiful. I mean, we heard in the first reading that there's this promise of a sprout from the stump of Jesse. You know, it's like, what the heck is that? Well, Jesse's one of Jesus' ancestors, and it's from him, his line, that Jesus came. And this will show you beautifully that line. And maybe you want to do this. You know, I think it takes maybe 10, 15 minutes each day from December 1st to the 24th. And it might be just a beautiful way for you to get the most out of Advent, to really allow yourself to be formed by the church's liturgical calendar this season. A little penance, yes, but really a great prayer that way. You're strengthening your faith. You're more excited and vigilant and watchful for when he comes at Christmas. And yeah, so you can maybe avoid some of the pitfalls out there. You know, you got a strong formation that will work against what the world's doing to try and harm us. And yeah, if you really focus this Advent, being intentional about preparing your heart for his coming, you will be more ready for his second coming, which is really what we want to be ready for, so that when he comes, we can say, hey, great to see you, Jesus. I'm ready. I've formed myself. I'm watchful. And Lord willing, he'll accept us into his kingdom to be with him forever.